Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
It's time for us to get into our Ask a Pastor segment. Remember, this segment is dedicated to you. If you have any questions that are bothering you, please send them through my producer. She will find you a pastor, and the pastor will answer. He promises to always be here to answer your question, and today is no different. That's why we have the pastor already on the line to take your question and answer it for you. On the line, we do have Pastor David Kasaji. Pastor Kasaji, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us once again.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me on the air.
Thank you very much, Mfundis. Thank you very much. Our question for today is, I would love to believe, is straightforward. How do you explain the idea of spiritual dryness or a lack of concern or connection with God?
Well, again, this is a very interesting question and a very, very important question to all of us as Christians. Do we experience some moments in our Christian journey of dryness? I think we all do. I do. I have been there, and the one who has asked the question is genuine about this question. Probably to answer this question, we need to ask the question, what is spiritual dryness?
I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, in my view, looking at spiritual dryness, this is a feeling of disconnection from God.
Okay.
Or lack of spiritual vitality. Or a sense that one's prayers are not heard. And this is a common experience in the Christian journey. And I believe all of us, maybe some of us, there have been moments when you feel you have prayed and God is nowhere to answer your prayers. And you feel that disconnection. Now, allow me to look at some biblical perspective on spiritual dryness. Do we have somebody in the Bible or some people in the Bible who experience spiritual dryness? Less when one comes to that point, you feel, man, you are no longer a Christian. No. Let me give you an example of David. David is a familiar person in the Bible. When you go to Psalms 42, if you read Psalms 42 verses 1 to 3, allow me to read it if you don't mind.
Not at all. Go ahead, Pastor.
It says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, looking at this passage, it is so deep. We see an example of somebody experiencing spiritual dryness in his life, in his Christian journey. And so David vividly expresses his longing for God's presence, and he feels spiritually dry and distant, but continues to seek God. That is an example of spiritual dryness. Job is another example I can talk about.
Okay.
In Job 23, verse 8 to 9, He says, if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. I do not see him. Job feels abandoned by God despite his faithfulness. Now, yet he declares in verse 10 that he knows the way that I take. You know, there are those moments in our Christian journey when we feel that moment of dryness, when we feel God has distanced himself from us. You know? You have been praying and you ask the question, how long, O Lord? As you read Psalms 10 and other passages. And this is real. And this is not to mean that we are not faithful, we are no longer Christians. But there are moments when we feel like that. And these moments, they should draw us closer to God. Jesus himself, in Matthew 27 and 46, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know? So even him, Jesus, experienced a profound moment of spiritual separation as he bore humanity's sin. And so, yes, the one who asked this question, there are those moments. But even when we experience those moments, we should still continue to seek God's presence in our lives. We should not give up at all, you know?
So tell me, Pastor, when I read this, and I'm looking at a definite article, and I'm noticing that in your answer, you're giving a slightly a different answer. And I say this because this person is saying, how do you explain the idea of spiritual dryness or a lack of connection with God? So according to this person, it's definite, it's happening, you're disconnected. But you're giving an answer that speaks to how you feel, and which gives the question that I'm about to now, the follow-up that says, should we determine our relationship with God or whether we are connected with God by how we feel? Or how do we determine whether we are connected or not connected with God? Do our feelings tell us that we are connected now or not connected now?
Well, the feelings may tell you you are connected now or you are not connected. I'll answer it this way. Probably the question should be, what causes that spiritual dryness in my life where I feel I am disconnected with God?
That's not, that's what you've already answered, Fundis. You've already given some perspective on things or situations that could cause spiritual dryness. But my curiosity now is, when you are there, people who could be at church and still not know that they are spiritually dry. And if they're a church and they are spiritually dry, how do they know that they are spiritually dry? Or will they depend on feelings? Is that how you determine how you feel?
They will know. They will know. They can be in the church and they still feel that disconnection, that spiritual dryness.
So your feelings. So the pastor is saying it's your feelings that you...
Probably not the feeling, but is the reality of their relationship with God. How am I relating to God?
That's what I'm asking, Pastor. How do you know when your relationship is no longer there? How do you know?
The Bible says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So sin creates that barrier between the believer and God, leading to a sense of distance. And that we can know.
How?
We don't have to feel it. That we can know that the journey on which I am, I'm not walking according to the dictates.
How are you going to know, Pastor? That's my question. How are you going to know?
If I have sinned, I will know that I've sinned.
So is the pastor saying by virtue of sinning, are you saying by virtue of you sinning, you are effectively disconnected?
If I sin, that's what the Bible says, your iniquities. If I have sinned, I know I have broken one of God's commandments.
Let me,
for instance,
let me give you a typical biblical example in fullness, then you can address that. Samson is a male cheapo. He was sleeping around. He was sleeping with prostitutes, marrying in and out of foreigners. He had no moral fiber in him, but still the Spirit of God was with him. The night he carried the gates of the city into the hills, he was waking up from a prostitute's bed. He went to sleep with the prostitute. At midnight, he woke up, and still the Spirit of God was with him. And he went out the gates, removed the gates, and carried the gates of the city with him. When he married his first wife, the woman he fell in love with, the Spirit of God was still with him. When he, when on his wedding day, he lost a bet because of his being betrayed by his newly wedded wife. He went and committed senseless murder, a massacre. He killed men and he murdered them and robbed them of their robes. There was no God in the action of Samson. When he killed those men for their robes, that was murder and robbery. There was no godliness there. There was nothing holy about that. He was merely murdering and robbing just to pay a debt. When he was killing people and burning fields in his anger when his wife was taken away from him, there was no God there. That was destruction of property that didn't belong to him. When he was when he had tied the foxes and burnt their tails and sent them into the fields, that act was an act of cruelty to animals. There was no God in there, but still the Holy Spirit was with God, was still with him in spite of all his murderous, slutty ways. My question again, I ask, if sin separates you from God, why did God not separate himself from a whoremonger like Samson? Why did God, the moment he penetrated that woman, why did God not leave him? Why did God not leave the moment he killed innocent men? Did God leave him? That's the answer. That's the question I need you to answer, Mfunis.
I'm glad that you are raising that that question. If you follow closely the story of Samson, God never left Samson.
Right.
Samson to God. God kept following Samson. Even when he took himself in those situations, God still continued to follow Samson.
Which
you and I, the Spirit of God does not leave us. We make that choice to leave the presence of God in our lives through our activities, through our sins.
But God is
so gracious that he gives us the opportunity to reflect and to turn away from our waywardness.
Was Samson spiritually dry, Pastor?
At that point, yes, he was.
Even though the Spirit was with him?
And at that point, yes, he was.
Even though the Spirit was with him, Phineas.
But then, listen, Samson realized He was not doing something right. He still needed God. And that's why whatever he did, the Spirit of God came upon him to give him the strength. At that point, Samson should have stopped. But again, he relapsed. He went back into sin. God still came through.
Pastor,
he relapsed.
Did God leave Samson when he was sleeping with a prostitute?
God did not leave Samson.
Was Samson spiritually dry when he was sleeping with a prostitute?
Exactly. I would say so.
Even though he had the Holy Spirit in him?
You know, what I'm saying is that God's Spirit does not leave us. We make that decision to leave God.
Pastor, the question I'm asking is whether he was connected to God when he was doing those things. Remember, the person's question who we're trying to get answers to today is asking you to explain the idea of spiritual dryness. So you need to be able to explain why is it that you're saying Samson was spiritually dry, but still the Holy Spirit gave him the strength to do all those things right as he stood up from the prostitute's bed. Still he had the strength the Spirit gave him. The Bible says the Spirit came mightily on him. How does the Spirit come mightily on a person who's spiritually dry?
The question that we would raise when we go to Psalms 51, you reflect on the life of David. David killed. David sinned. But Psalms 51 gives us another picture of David. And God calls him, son out of my own what? Heart. How does God call David a son out of his own heart? Somebody who has murdered, somebody who has killed, somebody who has done so many evil things. You know, it shows us when we acknowledge our sinfulness and we repent, God's Spirit will always abide with us. He will not leave us.
I need you to explain the Samson situation, Pastor.
Yes, that's what I'm saying to Samson. Samson messed up himself. Remember when Samson was born, who was Samson? He was set apart to do God's mission. He was given that favor.
Was sleeping with prostitutes Samson, God's mission, Pastor? Was killing innocent men God's mission?
No. I'm not saying killing a prostitute or sleeping with a prostitute was God's mission. That was a choice that Samson made for himself. Not God. God did not send him to do that.
Was he spiritually dry when he was doing that?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. But looking at your question, as you have said, and what I have said, the spiritual dryness, as I have explained, is where we discover that we, our sins, have separated us from God, and we feel that emptiness in us, and we feel that our spiritual vitality is no longer there. At that point, we acknowledge that we are spiritual dry. Whether one has committed the amount of sins like Samson did, yes, we come to that point, but when we acknowledge that we are distant from God and we invite God to be with us, remember Samson prayed, one more time, oh Lord, one more time. Samson gave that prayer.
That prayer came when he was already in prison, Pastor, after his hair was cut off. The Bible only records the God leaving Samson when he told Delilah the secret to his strength, and Delilah cut his hair off, then they were able to bind him and imprison him. When he said one more time, for the sake of my eyes, that was when he had already lost his hair. And what I'm trying to bring to your attention, Pastor, is the idea that sin separate us from God does not appear to be applicable in the Samson account. Though Samson was a murderous robber and a whoremonger, God never left him. The Spirit of God still was with him, in spite of the fact he was dripping prostitute, in spite of the fact his hands were dripping blood, innocent blood, in spite of the fact that his mind was continuously destructive and vandalistic. That's why I need us to be able to explain for this person, because this person is saying, how do you explain the idea of spiritual dryness? You find pastors standing on the pulpit preaching powerfully. People get converted. And yet that pastor is sleeping around with prostitutes himself. Is that pastor spiritually dry when he ministers and people get converted and people get baptized, knowing very well that that very same pastor is sleeping with the elder's wife? Does sin really separate us from God?
It does. You see, I can preach a powerful sermon. I can preach the whole series of the crusade, and people get converted and they get baptized and so forth. But the question is, am I really right with God when I'm doing that? When I know that what I'm doing in the background is not in harmony with God's will,
The issue is the state of being disconnected. No one is going to allege that sleeping around is right. I don't know of anyone who's going to suggest, by being a Bible reader, that sleeping around is right. But in spite of the fact that we have examples of men in the Bible who were sleeping around, still the Bible doesn't record that God left them because they were doing that. David, who slept with Uriah's wife, God never left him. Solomon, who was sleeping around with all sorts of nations, 300 concubines, God was still with him. And all those, these are the very same women that turned his heart away from God. He ended up building high places and Asherah stones to these women, idolatry, under the rulership of Solomon. But still, God was with him.
Yes, the issue is God will continue to follow you unless you come to a point, until you come to that point where you do not acknowledge the presence of God and why God is following you. And in fact, you on your own will come to that point where you feel guilty and hopeless. And you need to change your way of life.
Okay.
Now, if God really does not follow us, the question is, who will stand? Who will?
Okay. All right.
All of us.
Yeah, I hear
all
you.
All of us, we would have perished long time ago. But because of God's grace and faithfulness, not willing that anyone should perish in his sin, he gives us that opportunity. So even in cases of Samson, of David, and Solomon, these are examples. It does not mean then we should be careless with our lives. No, it doesn't mean that way. It's a leaf for us to learn from and walk the path of righteousness. God is faithful. We are not.
We understand that, Mfundisi. I think the big problem here is whether you get disconnected. Whether or not your sin disconnects you. If these men sinned, were they disconnected? No. If they were disconnected, how is it that the Holy Spirit is still functioning on men who are disconnected? If you're going to say that David was disconnected from God, or Samson was disconnected from God, why was he still able to do the mighty feats of wonder if he was disconnected?
Unless you and I come to a point that we do not agree with Isaiah 59 and verse 2, which says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. If we feel that this passage is not true, then we can relook at it.
No. That's why, Pastor, you need to explain. You need to explain these events that contradict that Isaiah text.
No, they do not contradict the Isaiah text. They affirm the Isaiah text.
Where?
What we need to realize is that these people we are talking about, they made a U-turn in their lives.
Before they made the U-turn, the Spirit of God was still working on them.
Yes, you and I today, you can go and sleep with somebody's wife. You can go and steal from somebody, but the Spirit of God will not leave you.
So you won't be disconnected by your sin.
You are the one who will leave the presence of God. Your sins will reveal to you that, what I'm doing, there's something wrong in this. God is not pleased with my behavior, with my way of life. You will acknowledge that. And all these people, they did acknowledge that.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yes.
We're going to leave it right there, Pastor. We're going to leave it right there.
I like the question that you are raising.
Yeah.
But let me leave you with this thought.
Okay.
Let me leave you with this thought. Neglect of communion with God. Many who profess to be Christians are so engrossed with worldly business that they have no time for prayer.
Right.
No time for Bible study. No time to seek and serve God.
Right.
Steps to Christ, page 93. Now, do not wait to feel that you are made whole. But I believe it. It is so, not because I feel it, but because God has promised. Again, that is Steps to Christ, page 51.
All right.
So why warns against basing one's assurance on feelings instead of faith in God's promises? So,
okay.
I suggest that spiritual dryness is real. Spiritual dryness is real. It does not mean that God has left us, but we feel there is this connection between me and God, and I need to make things right.
All right.
That is my take. That is my take. And
all right, we're going to leave it right there, Pastor. We'll meet again tomorrow, same time, same place, as we tackle a different question. But for your time and your insights for today, Pastor, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you for your question.
Appreciate him for this.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.